As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Trying to wrangle them all, it's like a goat rodeo, like it's herding cats. You got to just keep on, you got to put your head down and get after that. And in the forecast, I guess, is good because we'll talk about freeze fest, and you need to be frozen to have freeze fest, so that's a good deal. But I don't know how good it was trying to get people down to the Buskirk Chumley last night. The city had their Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday celebration. We know the parking meters were off. Thank you for that. City government and, well, federal government wasn't working yesterday. We wanted people to watch on catstv.net. You can go back and see the ceremony if you didn't have a chance to do so. But I know you were front and center. Tell me about what you saw last night and all the great happenings at the Buskirk Chumley Theater.
Well, it went really well. Mike, actually, Don Griffin represented the office of the mayor there. That's my first one that I wasn't there in person. But Don Griffin was there. President Witten was there. We had a terrific speaker talking about higher education and race and what's been going on there. And I heard it went great. We had very careful seating. Everybody was masked. Everybody was separated. And as you said, we really encourage a lot of people to monitor it online. So you can please check it out. And thanks again. Our community really embraces MLK Day and a day on, not a day off. And as usual, our Community and Family Resources Department, led by Beverly Callender Anderson, pulled off another one and had a great weekend.
Well, that's excellent to hear. And again, I wish the weather could have been a little nicer to get people out and about to help out. We know the library was very busy yesterday as well, and all of the great volunteer opportunities that Lucy Shake told us about late last week, so people could get involved and make it a fantastic holiday. That's just a tough one because it's in January every year, and hoping to get a good break in January is difficult to do. All right,
we need warm weather for MLK, and then we need frozen weather for Freeze Fest. We're not particular or anything, right?
No, it's just one. Now, if we put a dome over the city and could climate control it, well, that would be great. But I don't think we want to run that. We don't want to run that cost up the flagpole. We're joking, folks. We're joking. There's not going to be a dome over the city. This is how wild rumors get started. That's not happening.
Be careful, huh?
Yeah, we will be careful. I meant to ask you this for the last 3 weeks because I drive by it daily, usually home and away, going to work and back from it. But there is new construction on the east entrance of the Switchyard Park. The former building that was Night Moves has been raised. The foundation is being dug. What is going in there, for crying out loud?
Well, thank you for asking about that. Right now we call it Night Moved, I think, in past tense, you know. That is a wonderful, we're actually going to break ground on that, I think, pretty soon. It may be on my calendar, but there's a collaborator with us that's going to put in some wonderful affordable housing in there, actually supportive housing for people who are in need of housing. I think about 50 units. It's going to be a mix. There's going to be some market rate housing, but also mostly supportive and affordable housing, subsidized housing. So we'll kick that off. I'll be able to tell you more about that once we have the formal groundbreaking. But that's, you know, one of the things about a big new park is we like people to live near the park and next to the park. And so I think this is the start of, well, we had a little building on the southwest side, as you know, Switchyard Apartments went in, and those are there, 8 units down on the west entrance, and this is about 50 or so units on the east entrance, and we hope it continues to let more and more people access the park and enjoy it.
Yeah, and that was kind of where I was going with that, because when you drive down Rogers, you can see the apartments that have been added there, and I couldn't remember the number of how many, so I was just trying to figure out the scope, and it looks like, because the real estate sign is on there, there's going to be some commercial space available as well.
Oh, yes, for the east side one? Yes,
absolutely.
There is some side. Yeah, yeah. And this is a bigger building. This is 4 or 5 stories, I think. And, you know, it's just a spectacular location, of course, to live right there, and I believe there is a retail on the first floor too.
And that will be up and moving along. I've had some people ask, and I've tried to explain it. And Mick Renhuizen, when he was a deputy mayor, did an excellent job of doing so. But people are pointing out, hey, you build these garages, you build this, you build that, you put all this space on the bottom, and no one's leasing it. Is the price too high? Why are we doing this? Can you help answer that question for me? Because my simple answer is, well, if you're going to build a project, build it, then you have it for when you need it, and then you don't have to find new space to build it. Is that part of the – I think that's what Mick told me back in the old days. So it's kind of like, well, if we're going to build this deal, you can't go back and add it later, so you kind of have to do it when it's originally planned. I think I have that right.
Yeah, I mean, that is right. This is all part of the zoning and the management of the city's built environment. And one of the factors that's really important is what people call kind of a living street, an active street, and having active streets, which people love to be on. We all enjoy when you're downtown or in an urban environment that you don't feel like you're walking next to an institution or a blank wall or anything like that. So having active space on the first floor is important. Now, having said that, and that's in our zoning, and you're really planning for the long haul. Having said that, retail space is changing. We've actually looked at whether you could use some of that for housing for a period of time, but the economics get pretty complicated on shifting something from retail to housing and back. This is really long-term planning to try to make sure we keep active streetscapes and kind of an urban environment that's welcoming to and feels good while balancing out those needs. So making sure there's retail space also just kind of helps break up what some people call a monoculture of one type of housing or building that can just to try to keep more diversity in our use of space. So,
and the other thing is, I know this has been quieted lately with the pandemic and everything else. Well, what hasn't been. But if a convention center expands or pops up down there, well, then you have these retail outlets to immediately serve those folks instead of having to wait for something else to be built. And I think that was part of the longer-term vision as well. Where are we on that longer-term vision, Mayor Hamilton? Is that something that still makes it onto the front page of the notes, or is that on the back burner simmering for another day, month, or year?
The convention center you're asking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I've been an advocate for that convention center expansion. I think it's a good thing for the downtown, for the community. We're a community where people like to come and visit. We tend to have more visitors on the weekends than we do during the week, and a convention center can kind of help you balance that out for your hotels and your restaurants and all that stuff. And it's a bit of a hold right now. I continue to think it's the right thing for our community to do. There's some different debate about it, and we'll see how it shakes out. But I'm a big advocate for it. I think it's important. Other cities are moving ahead with theirs, and we hope to do so as well. Not everybody's on the same page at this point, and we have to get there. But I hope it'll happen soon.
And we'll keep our eyes and ears open as we move in that direction. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. And it wouldn't be a meeting of us if we didn't have a COVID update. The numbers that the city press release put out from Andrew on late last week, 20 people in the city with COVID. I think that's probably the highest we've had, isn't it? I don't want to talk about those kinds of records, but it seems like we're setting records on every front, whether it's hospitalizations or anything else. What is the update from the group that meets weekly?
Yeah, we're setting the kind of records you don't want to set, right? You can talk with your sports coaches about records they want to set, but we've had more employees test positive this month already than we've had in any other month, and last month was our highest one before that. So Omicron is here. It's really tearing through our community. We hope it will be done relatively quickly. We're all trying to flatten the curve. You know the numbers. We we remember we got it below 100 cases per 100,000 back 8 weeks ago or so.
Yeah.
And we were hopeful. We got down to 60 and we're aiming for 50, and now we're over 1,000. So a 15-fold increase. The hospitals are stressed. I don't have good news updates. It's just still really coursing through our community. I use up into hundreds of cases, and everybody, please get vaccinated. And whether you're vaccinated or not, in the coming days and weeks, just try to be extra careful about sharing air. This is a very infectious disease. It doesn't take a lot to get sick. If you can wear your mask and just try to avoid sharing air with people who aren't in your household, that would be smart to do, or minimize it over the next few weeks.
We hear about other nations and other places around the world about hitting the peak. What do our experts what have they told you? Are we near the peak? Do they expect us to be close to that? Where is that on the radar? Can we see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, you know, Dr. Aaron Carroll, who's with IU and the actual national spokesperson on some of this stuff, I think last week was hoping that IU would probably see 1 or 2 weeks and a kind of a turn in that direction. We hope, you know, we always remember to be humble about this virus. Humility is appropriate because it often surprises us. But we hope it's a short few weeks that we do start to see a turn. And that being said, you know, we don't know what's around the corner. That's turning one corner, but we don't know what the next road is. I do think we have to, you know, we have to learn to live with this. And the best way to do that is to get vaccinated and boosted, maybe get used to being able to protect our schools and protect our workplaces as we need to when the surge is here. But I think eventually we probably will be seeing a more regular vaccinations rhythm to this thing. We just, these next couple, 3, 4 weeks, we don't know exactly how many, are really important to try to protect our friends at the hospital who are just, you know, doing really intense work these days.
Give them their space, and hopefully we have space for other folks to be treated that are that need treatment as well, because the rest of life just isn't on pause for COVID. All the other babies being born and I don't know, broken arms and silly things like that, yeah, still happens. I mean, we can't you pause know, everything.
You know, that's a really important point, and maybe that helps some people get a different perspective on this. The hospital, if you're in an automobile accident or have some trauma, they're going to take care of you in the emergency room and get to you. But there are hundreds of people in our own community who've had surgeries and needed procedures or tests delayed because of this. And these people, as somebody reminded me, you know, just because you call surgery optional doesn't mean like, I don't know if I need it or not. You don't do it for the heck of it. You don't do it for fun. You do it because you need it. It's just optional because it's not, you know, an urgent need. But hundreds of people have had to have their health care significantly delayed and live in pain and live in fear or danger or others. And the more we can help the health care system ourselves by getting vaccinated and trying to flatten the curve, the more we help our neighbors who have those needs too in the regular healthcare system, as you mentioned.
Do we have enough tests and testing sites? Is that important now? Do we need vaccination sites? What is Dr. Carroll in the group that you meet with a few times each week? What is their plan moving forward to kind of suppress this the best we can?
Well, we do want more testing. We get those in from the state, and we get stand up clinics and that kind of thing. We will get more. I think the federal government's getting ready to send out to every household some tests. But I will say, over the next few weeks, the most important thing is get boosted if you've not been boosted. Start your vaccinations if you haven't, to protect yourself. And third, just try to be extra careful with wearing a good mask. Wear it well. Try not to share air, because even if you're vaccinated and boosted, you can still get it. You can still spread it. You're much, much safer. But over the next few weeks, I think just trying to be extra careful would be smart.
I think being smart all the time is probably the best advice we can give folks. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He joins us here every Tuesday just after 4:05. And, well, we learned late last week that the Johnson Creamery smokestack is, well, it's maybe not made for the long haul. I think the city, from what I read, knew that back when you looked to buy the property back perhaps in 2017 or 18, and you chose not to, but those who have chosen to buy it, well, that's a pretty big smokestack. It's hanging right out there on the Beeline Trail. There's a lot of stuff right around there. What's happening?
Yeah, you know, well, we want to be safe, obviously. Better safe than sorry. As you said, we got a pretty detailed look at that 4 years ago plus, and it was one of the factors in whether or not that building made sense for the city. We decided not to go that way. We knew that smokestack needed help. We looked at it again as there's a development being planned just north of the smokestack, right in the parking lot there. And as we started to look at that, we did an additional brief inspection and said, you know, this thing hasn't gotten better. Nobody's put investment into it. And looking at it with seeing some of the deterioration, we just said this is not in a safe condition. We had our risk officer look at it. And again, I would say we're being extra cautious to put a detour into the Beeline. We gave an order to that owner to say, you got 60 days to get this thing stabilized and made safe. We're waiting to hear from them about that. You know, it's an old, I think it was built in 1949, maybe. It's 140 feet tall. You can tell it's got a whole bunch of cell tower stuff up on there, too. And I'm sure that'll get resolved. It is an historic structure, so it's not like you can just go, let's take the thing down, because it's kind of iconic for our city. So the developers who own it now are out of Chicago. They're hoping to do a building next to it, and we just have told them, you got to get this stabilized before you move forward with anything else.
What is the historic angle? What does that mean for people like me who don't completely understand that? Does that mean it literally has to stay there forever, or it just can't be changed from its original materials? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't mean nothing changes forever, but it does mean, hey, this is an important part of Bloomington's story, and it should not be dealt with by just one owner who buys and says, you know what, I think I'll tear it down. It's too important for that. Obviously, safety is critical. The economics of it do matter. If you had a facility that a building or a structure like this that just is unfeasible to fix, that can be dealt with, but you have to go through a process. You got to talk to Historic Preservation Committee, and you got to make your case and explain things like that. So it makes sure that we're careful with the relics and the legacies that tell our story. You know, that was a creamery. I think very early 1900s was established, and maybe they had the first ice making machinery in town. And this smokestack is kind of part of that legacy. So we respect it and we protect it, but it doesn't mean that things can't be done over time.
Now, the structural issues that go along with it would be similar to the old 4th Street parking garage, where it just can't continue down this path. It's not going to fall over tomorrow, right?
Well, I certainly hope not. You know, we
if
are,
it gets
we
windy, I don't
a,
get nervous, right?
I mean, you can actually look on the skin of it. There's a few masonry pieces missing, and it does have a tilt to it. If you haven't looked at it with a plumb line, it will strike you if you look at it that way. But it is urgent. They need to get it under control, and that's one of the reasons we diverted people from the Beeline. I mean, look, you know, we don't want to have a tragic story, so we're trying to stay in front of that curve.
Sounds good, because I'm at the bloomington.in.gov homepage, and the picture that is the aerial shot, you can see exactly where it is and where it is in relation to the trail, the parking lot at Showers, and the Showers building and everything around that. So it does paint a picture, sometimes more than words do, about how close that is to everything and what kind of deal it is moving forward. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. And before we let you enjoy the rest of your week, we want to make sure that everybody is on the up and up. Freeze Fest is happening this weekend, and well, the forecast is going to match all the outdoor ice carving fun activities we have going on.
Yeah, that's a cool new tradition, I guess, right? That's getting going. I'll tell you, I heard there were 46,000 pounds of ice delivered all this crazy ice carving. Yeah, that's like 23 tons of ice or something, I think, you know. And I do remember we've had some warm freeze fests, and there's a ice carving contest and all kinds of fun stuff for people to do this coming weekend. And it's a wonderful new tradition for the wintertime of Bloomington. So I encourage people to check it out.
Yep, and we will be freezefest.com. That's the easiest way to see what's going on. You'll have some ice carving competitions down at Upland on Friday, some demonstrations at the mill on Saturday, and these carvings will be placed around town at strategic places where people are usually walking or gathering, so you'll be able to see them. So warm up. Friday night will be interesting. Grab your chainsaw, grab a cold beer, and watch them carve away. Well, that'll warm me up. So, again, an outdoor event where people can enjoy it. And I forgot there's a winter market. There's a winter farmer's market, correct?
There is down at Switchyard, yeah.
Yeah, so Switchyard again. That's just not a summer park, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to our friends at Bryant Park or any of the other parks. But Switchyard's a 365er. We got stuff happening all the time down there and everywhere, and that's what makes it exciting as well. So Freeze Fest, and you can check that out. And Winter Palooza will be happening on Saturday as well, after the Winter Farmers Market. So you can be in the hub of activity down there at the Switchyard Park. So that is fun. And speaking of fun, we talked about joining our friends in Palo Alto as sibling cities. You've got a big meeting with them coming up?
I do. Thank you. Yes, we're still the first sibling cities in America. We're excited about it. And even just tonight, I'm going to be talking to the mayor of Palo Alto and some of the folks there and some of our folks, and we're going to be plotting the next steps. And it's really fun to know people are already talking. I know our art folks and education folks and culture and social groups and economy. It's going to be fun. I'll know more about it next week. I can catch up on it and see what we can give you an update on.
Perfect. And if you need me to join the delegation to go out there while the Freeze Fest is happening here locally, I have no problem getting out to the Bay Area and enjoying their 62 degrees every day of the year, it seems like.
You know any radio jocks out there, Mike? A couple,
and yeah, we'll have
there
to.
There you go.
We'll knock right on a couple doors right and see what they've got going on. Well, we appreciate when we knock on your door every Tuesday that you answer it. Can we go again next week?
I'll talk to you next week, Mike. Everybody, stay safe, and thanks again for the time.